Welcome, everybody, to the next episode of Suits and Shoes. Today, we have the honor of interviewing the 57th governor of Missouri, Governor Parsons. And Governor Parsons has accomplished an extraordinary amount of work within the state of Missouri, having impacts across the nation. He's published a book that we'll talk about, raised a beautiful family, and has just done such tremendous work that's impacted the lives and families of millions of citizens here in the United States, and more so in Missouri. Governor Parsons, what does it take to be a governor?
Oh, this is going to be a lengthy show if I got to answer all of this. You know, I think it's all about the foundation. I think it's all about how we grew up and why we kind of refer to that in the book. But it really comes down to faith, family, and freedom. I mean, we make it complicated sometimes, but I truly believe you got to have those three things in your life, and they got to be in that order to understand how to do this job. And I think coming from where I came from, you know, how my life all started with very humble beginnings and everything, I never want to forget where I came from. Yeah. And I want people really to understand, if you work hard, if you treat people right, you're a good neighbor, you treat people with respect, and you try to figure out solutions,
yeah,
and you truly be a public servant. And I think all of those things in life prepared me for this moment when I walked in to be the governor of the 57th governor of the state, and never had any plans to be governor.
Wow.
Of the state of Missouri, and here we are talking about it right now. But it's quite a story. It's quite a story how I got here.
That's extraordinary. So let's just start from the beginning. Let's start with early childhood. What did that look like for you?
Yeah, well, my mom and dad were sharecroppers. So for some of the listening audience might not know what that was, is we moved from farm to farm working on other people's farms. We worked for them. So a lot of times they would provide a house or a place to live while you worked for them. And we did that throughout my younger days, probably till I was 9 or 10 years old. And my mom and dad bought their first house in the 60s. And it was an old farmhouse that my grandpa had that was on a rock foundation.
Wow.
So I like to kind of tell the story at this point. You know, I kind of come from a rock foundation to a mansion.
I love that.
To be able to do that. But the old house, you know, the windows wouldn't shut right in, doors couldn't lock. And my mom and dad never had a lot in the world of material things. Wow. But you know what? As I grew up, nobody else did either. We lived in one of the poorest counties in the state at the time. But you had good neighbors, and you tried to help each other out in hard times, and you didn't know any other way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just what you did at a time. Government was never in the picture at that moment.
Yeah.
We didn't know anything about that. It was just about, you just went out and worked every day, and my dad made all of us, four boys, you know, you had to kind of chin the pole every day. I mean, when you went out, you worked. It wasn't like you got to lay around, and there wasn't computer games back
yeah.
in those days. And,
yeah.
So you worked, and then you get the foundation of faith. Early on, my dad and mom was true believers, you know, in their faith. And so we had that early on. And so that was kind of the beginning of how it all started with me. And I think to do this job, you have to go back to those days to understand. I wasn't born with a silver spoon. I mean, I don't have a pedigrees. I got a high school diploma.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a lot of fancy degrees, and not rich by no means. Everything I've done, I've worked for in my life. Nobody's ever given me anything.
That's extraordinary.
You know, me and my wife have just worked, and we've just, honestly, we've kind of lived the American dream of all the things I've done. And I don't mean to be corny about that, but
yeah.
that's really what we've been able to do. But it all started on a farm. It all started with those beginnings.
That's extraordinary that you highlight that. Some of my top mentors today, some of them, you know, multi-billion dollar organizations. And when I ask them these questions, similar questions, they all say similar, that it starts from early childhood. And that's why I always highlight in these podcasts that it starts early on. It's not really something you can quickly obtain in college. Before we jump into current and present day, how did your young adult life prepare you, impact you to where you are today?
Well, my young adult life, I made plenty of mistakes. I was in trouble a few times, hurt my family. My mom and dad, you know, were good people, and I went down a path I shouldn't have went down for a while. Had some scrapes with the law, ended up in court, and it's in the book.
Yeah.
I even made the first lady nervous by about writing about all this stuff.
Yeah.
But I think it was important people to know that
yeah.
you again, you don't have to be perfect. But you got to also understand right from wrong and know when you do wrong.
Yeah.
And during that time, you know, I hurt a lot of people. You know, I wasn't a very good student. You know, I was doing a lot of crazy things I shouldn't have been done. And, you know, I started working when I was 14 years old, trying to make a little money. And in my day, when you got out of high school, you were pretty well expected to leave home.
Wow.
You were expected to go to the workforce and do what you could, plus help out there. So,
yeah.
And then I was just, you know, at 19 years old, I was trying to kind of find my way around a little bit, trying to figure out where I was going to end up, you know, coming from a little old town of 356 people.
Wow.
And so I joined the Army, and that was a game changer.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that I really learned as a kid that I think that's really brought part of it, of who I am, you know, during that time I was making all these mistakes and everything. You know, so again, my mom and dad were very faithful people. My brothers were. Everybody was in church, including myself. I still went to church,
yeah.
You know, but for the wrong reasons, I would say. I won't say for the wrong reason I went to church, but I wasn't listening to the message.
Yeah.
And then finally, you know, God decided I needed to change things up a little bit and be a better person. And that's kind of how it all started, of trying to get on the right track and really understand truly right from wrong, not just by the people telling you what to do, but biblically by knowing.
That's extraordinary. In your book, you highlight something that I really like, that it's not luck. The exact quote, I want to read it here, that really resonated with me is, there's no such thing as luck. Luck is when preparation meets opportunity. And then you continue to highlight through your book how God is the author of that. I wanted to just take a moment and hear an example in your life of when you put in the hard work and not expecting a certain outcome, and then you saw God come in, and you were just so ready for that opportunity.
Well, I don't think there are any question. God has a say in your life every day of what you do. You just don't know it sometimes, but He does. And I think He's opened so many doors for me in my life. You know, there was a time when I got out of the military, and I got back home, and I owned a business. And when I met Teresa, and married her, and she had two kids at the time, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're a young guy, and you're single, and you're thinking, you know, do I want to settle down or not? And all of a sudden, here's this lady with two kids. But God put her there at that very moment for me to settle down a little bit, to grow up a little bit, and take that responsibility. And there was, as the book would say, there was no turning back in my life. Once I met her and we got married a short time later, and all of a sudden I had a ready-made family.
Wow.
And I would say, how do you do all this? And, you know, again, that's where faith comes in.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of how it started with that. But what you'll find out is if you keep your faith and you realize you're not in control of the day's events sometimes, and when you do struggle to try to figure out what is the right answer, you've got to rely back on your faith. There's no easy way around it. There's no easy way to be successful. You know, I mean, you've got to work at whatever you do. And I would tell you, you got to work at your faith too every day. But I know this, now that I've went through the whole thing in my life, as we're kind of talking about, there's no way I would be here today if it wasn't through faith. There's just no way. And God had a plan for that, a purpose for me. I didn't know that, but, you know, you got to be a good listener sometimes. And when the door opens, you got to be bold enough to walk through the door.
Yeah, I'm really thankful that you're highlighting these examples of how truly it's not a perfect Hollywood movie. Like, these hardships and challenges, they set you up for the success that you have. And I remember a really powerful quote that was once told me, that those hard times is what shapes the strongest leaders. And so whenever you highlight through your book the leadership and just the strong characteristics that there are within that, I want to kind of dive into your governancy and the work that you've accomplished here. And so just in your last term, we had a pandemic, we have so much geopolitical things going on around the world.
Right.
We have borders, immigration. I mean, the list goes on and on. Could you highlight one of the most challenging experiences that you've had and how you've overcome it as a governor?
Well, I think it's hard to find one. I mean, you know, COVID's going to come to the forefront pretty quick, because that was so many challenges in different ways. But since I've been governor in 5.5 years, you know, most governors don't ever go through what I've been through in that short period of time. But if you look, the first thing I faced was some of the worst droughts in our state's history.
Yeah.
Several months later, it was the worst floods in our state's history that we're dealing with. Civil unrest, you know, COVID-19, train derailments, tornadoes. And it was just one thing after another that you had to really stay focused on what it is you do here every day. And I think at the end of the day, you always got to remember who you represent. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that think they know a lot from the East and the West Coast, and there's a lot of think tanks out there that think they know better than what we do. But at the end of the day, most time you got to think like a Missourian and just use a little common sense. And all those things you learn in life, all those trials you've been through, it prepares you for those moments you have to make decisions. It's going to affect people's lives. So there was plenty of challenges in there. You know, I have to say, you know, without doubt, COVID was tough. You was being pulled from every which direction and people wanting you to do things. And again, there was no playbook.
Yeah.
Nobody had ever been through it before, and you had all the experts out there telling you one thing or another, and then you finally just have to realize, you know, again, I will say how faith plays a role in that.
Yeah.
And you go back to, my job is to take care of Missourians. That has to be my first focus. And that doesn't matter whether you live in St. Louis or you live in Greene County or Christian County or Polk County. It doesn't make any difference. Everybody's got to be treated the same. And that's It's difficult because I had people on both sides. I mean, you had churches had different views. You had family members had different views. But at the end of the day, there's nobody to turn around and hand a ball off to. you know, you got it, and it's hot, and you got to figure out what you're going to do with it.
Yeah, that's extraordinary. It reminds me of what Jack Stack said on this podcast, is you're not answering to a bigger government or a church. You're answering to your employees. And so that leadership really comes out. And I think it's relatable and applicable in the family. You know, you can't do what's best for you know, the school or someone else. Like, you represent your family. And that's interesting that you highlight that. Whenever we went past the pandemic, what do you feel like brought you the most success? You know, a lot of times people say it's all about the team. Some say it's all about, you know, the big boss or my boss, the wife. There's different, you know, different people attribute success to different groups of people. What would you attribute your success to?
You know, I just think having good people around me my entire life, understand how important that is. Family, friends, you know, people when you walk into this office, making sure you're not afraid to go out there and get the best person you can to help you.
Yeah.
And to realize that you don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
And that's why you do bring people in. You know, I think the worst thing you see in this arena sometimes is people think they're experts. There's very few experts in this arena. You know, and it's a matter of how you get people together to figure out what are the solutions. I tell my senior staff in this very office that we're sitting in today, and I would tell anybody this, if you're going to be a leader, there's one thing you got to learn about being a leader. It's never about being the best.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about making everybody around you better.
Wow.
If you do that, I guarantee you, you will be a good leader. But you have to understand, you have to have the right people around you. And if you look at life, if you look at life in general, if you think about important things in your life, you're going to think about, for example, education. You're going to think somewhere along the way some teachers made a difference for you. You're not going to know who won the Super Bowl or who won the World Series or what was the fastest car in the day, but you are going to remember them. You're going to remember your family members that had an influence in you, who your five friends are that really you know you can depend on every day. And I think as you just go through life, through your marriage, your wife, you understand how important that partnership is, your children, your grandchildren. And I want to say those people help prepare you for this very time. And they give you the energy and the faith to understand, you know, you're doing this for somebody else, not yourself.
Yeah.
You're doing it for other people and for those next generations. And for me and Teresa, we've been so blessed to live the American dream. I mean, it's not been easy. And we've had to work at everything we've ever done. But, you know, you just want other people to have the same opportunity we've had. I want these next kids to have the same opportunity. I don't know what they'll do, but I want them to know you can work hard, you can do the right things, and you can be successful.
That's extraordinary. I remember talking to a high political figure here in Missouri and kind of asking what it's like to be a governor, and he said it's like being a super CEO. And I'm definitely seeing it through your journey that you just have a lot going on. I remember one time I was just super busy day, between, you know, big meetings and closing big deals. And my mom just keeps calling and calling me. And I'm like, this has to be an emergency. And I answer. And she's like, oh, I wanted to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in a few days. So how do you balance that? How do you balance family and work?
You get those calls from time to time. You know, a granddaughter will call sometimes. And, you know, you look down, you see it's your granddaughter. And you somehow figure out some way to get to answer the phone.
But yeah.
It's difficult. The one thing about this job, I would tell you, the downside of this job is time.
Yeah.
It just, there's no way that you can, your family's gonna sacrifice for what it is you do. And after I'm doing this, there's no way you can keep from it, you know. I miss a lot of my grandkids' activities, you know, things me and Teresa would like to do sometimes, we just can't do with our friends. It's not as simple to go out and eat as what it once was. You know, the simple things that we all think.
The ball cap doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, there's only so many ball cap sunglasses that you hide from. It don't work for me. I think I talk too different and say all things. They pretty well know who I am when I'm around. But I think that's the worst part of the job, is just trying to find the time to do that. For me, I like a daily schedule, just like talking to you today, getting you in here. You know, most everything's based on about 15 minutes. So every 15 minutes, you're changing subject matter.
Yeah.
All day, and then you travel. We'll travel this afternoon. We'll end up about 10 o'clock tonight, probably going back home. But it's a normal day. But again, life prepares you for that, and you have to understand that's your job.
Yeah.
It's not a 8-to-5 job, and it never will be for whoever the next governor is. And if you're going to do it right, it's just going to take time.
And I'm guessing sacrifice. 7 days a week, I'm guessing.
Yeah. You don't quit. I mean, you know, something's happening all the time, and you've got 47,000 employees that work for the state. I mean, there's just something goes on all the time. But, again, just have good people help you, and it's just like I said, you're running a business and a big business.
Super CEO, I feel like, is the right title for it. So you highlighted how your leadership is representing Missourians. And I love that, by the way. I've experienced it firsthand as a small business growing to a small corporation, growing to a big corporation. People oftentimes ask me, you know, why didn't you go to Texas or Florida or somewhere else? And it's like, because no other state will give you the support that I've experienced here.
Yeah.
Early on, I was... I almost want to say a nobody starting a small business. I mean, there's thousands of contractors, but even from being a nobody or a small business owner, I felt that support.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you do represent, you know, the country as a whole. So how do you, with your leadership style, representing Missourians, kind of accommodate or fit into the bigger picture of the entire union, the United States of America?
Well, I think number one, you're a perfect example. You're a small business owner here in our state. And that's the heart and soul of who we are. It's not the Boeings of the world. It's not the Bayers, the Ford Motor Companies. All the names are from here, which we want them all here as much as possible. But the reality of it, it's a small business owner all over the state. You want to be able to do that. So first of all, it's not about a handout. I want to make sure I'm clear on that. I started with nothing. I had to work for everything I got. But it doesn't mean you can't give somebody a hand up, that you can't help them in a business sector to do different things. If I can save you money from paying into the state and you can keep that money and invest it in your business or employees, we're much better off because you're going to be much more efficient at what you do than what government wants to.
Yeah.
So that's the first mentality you got to do. And I think part of the problem with the federal government right now is everybody expects something.
Yeah.
You know, and the reality of it is, you know, I mentioned I read your bio a little bit. At some point, you got to stand on your own 2 feet.
Exactly.
And to give you a helping hand at some point in your life or like your families, that's what we all should do. We should do that, number one. But not forever. At some point, you know, people's got to be who they are, and you got to go out there, you got to make a living. But when a small businesses, I'm going to do everything I can to support them and help them to be successful because I want to be their partner. I don't want them owing me, or I don't want to owe them. I just want to be a good partner. And if I'm a good partner, I know one thing from Governor, when I start talking about infrastructure and workforce development, those two issues are successful for everybody in the state of Missouri.
That's extraordinary. And we firsthand got to witness that. As we go towards the end of our interview, the podcast we've started has had tremendous success, especially when we take and we cut it up into what we call micro learning. So it's like short reels and threads. And we've had some that have had tens of thousands of views and some that are growing into the millions. If you could, you know, in a short snip, inspire the younger generation, what words of advice or wisdom would you feel like you'd want to be the key takeaway from your book, your leadership, and just what you've accomplished to this day?
I hope it gives them hope. I hope that they say, man, look what he done. And he started with nothing and just worked his way through life and developed those life skills that we all want to have. And he ended up being governor of the state of Missouri. You know, if somebody sees that and think, you know, I could do that too, that's the person I hope gets what we're saying out of the book. I hope that's the message that comes out of there. Uh-huh. And again, you don't have to be nobody special. You know, all you have to do is work hard, treat people right, and stay focused on faith, family, and freedom. If you do those three things, and life will come to you, you know, and enjoy it every step of the way you can. I've never had one job in my life that I've regretted. And I've had tough jobs. I've never had a 40-hour week job. But everything I've always done, I've enjoyed doing it. Even when it was tough, I did. But I hope people realize, looking at that book, that you just don't have to be anybody special to be sitting in these seats, to be doing this interview with me and you.
Yeah.
You know, to do that.
That's extraordinary. I just, thinking back to, you know, off behind the scenes, we were talking about you turning a wrench. Like, that's how you started. And I think that, just that clip right there, will inspire millions across the country and within Missouri. In conclusion, you had mentioned that, you know, hard work, faith, freedom, and it highlights to where anyone can be in these seats where we're sitting.
Sure.
A question that arises a lot in my life and people that surround me is a very practical and simple question, and kind of what the highlight of the podcast is, Suits and Shoes. What do you prefer, I guess, do you have limitations as what you as a governor can actually wear shoes-wise and outfit-wise?
You know, here's what I would tell you. You know, you're kind of in an arena where I believe you need to dress for the job. So I normally wear a suit or what I'm wearing today if I'm going to be on the road, depending on what events I'm going to. But the job comes with a certain deal of respect. And I'm old school, so yeah. So I think I got to do the same thing, you know. So here's kind of crazy I am. I still don't wear jeans to church, you know. I'm still kind of thinking, okay, I got to wear a dress. Now all my kids do, and nobody cares anymore. But to me, I think, okay, I got to wear, you know, a pair of slacks to church if I'm going to church. But I think when you do this job, there's a certain amount of it that you need to be respectful. Not so much about the governor or the governor's last name. Yeah. It's the office of governor. There's only 56 people's had this job before I have in our whole state's history.
Wow.
So do I want the first impression to be a lasting impression, as they will tell you in the military? Yes, I do. So I think sometimes it pays to dress that way. Now, if you come and see me this weekend, I'm going to be in Bolivar on the farm, I guarantee you're not going to see a suit and tie. I guarantee you. You'll see a lot of Carhartt and jeans, and we'll be out on a tractor or something.
Yeah. I'm so thankful you highlighted that, because even through college, I went to Mizzou. Our professors, they told us the same thing. They're like, if you want to wear some shorts or go out without a shirt, that's fine to do on your farm, in your dorm, in your apartment. But whatever job you go to, whether it's a doctor, nurse, politics, always respect the office. And I'm just really grateful that you highlighted that.
Right.
Any last words that you'd like to leave with myself or the listeners today?
I think for you and the listeners out there, you know, just remember to be humble in whatever it is you're going to do. You know, I think you always have to have that to you to realize you've been put in this position. You just didn't necessarily get here by yourself.
Yeah.
You got put in this position for a reason. And I think when you are, you got to understand, number one, be who you are. You know, I mean, speak from the heart and just treat people right and realize that not everybody gets to do what you get to do. So when I walk through these doors every day and I look at this big old office and fancy office, I think coming from that Rock Foundation house to walk into this is a dream world that most people don't even get to live in, but I will never, ever forget where I came from, and I think that's who we are.
I love that. Thank you so much, Governor Parson. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. It was another opportunity for you to be inspired, for you to continue to put in the work, knowing that there's really no limitations. And I just like to conclude this podcast with a quote that I found reading into Governor Parson's book, and that is, for with God nothing is impossible, and indeed all things are possible. Be prepared for an opportunity that never comes, to have an opportunity to come, it is better to be prepared for an opportunity that never comes than to have an opportunity come and not be prepared. You are one phone call away from being successful. Thank you.